It's a tight end too for sound those recruiting cannons. Luke Fickell's got some more weapons. Phil Longo's got some more weapons headed to Madison. We're going to talk about it on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Locked On Badgers, your team every single day. I am your host, Ryan Herrings. As always, really do appreciate everybody tuning in, making this one of the better Badger communities that we're building up on the web, on the internet. Really do appreciate it. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at FanDuel. FanDuel is the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And we're bringing John Garcia Jr. on, one of the favorites of the show, favorites of the channel. We're always smarter because you're here. And we got, it's a recurring theme. We have stuff to talk about.
Every time.
We're getting used to this recruiting thing, man. Badger fans are excited. We have two tight ends to talk about. One committed a couple days ago. One literally just committed today before he jumped on the show. I want to start there with Rob Booker. 6'6", 215-ish pound kid out of Wisconsin. A high three-star. Offers from really a lot of schools in the Midwest. Iowa's in on him, which is always a nice validating offer for tight ends. What did you think about this commitment and watching his film on Rob Booker?
He is so interesting. This is, you talk about light on your feet. It's hard to do that at 6'6", I thought, in principle, and until I watched some tape on the newest Badger, because this kid is like a glider. It's really impressive to watch. Obviously, big-time basketball frame, but on the football field, there's a lot of natural ability here. Right now, kind of just – bigger, longer than everybody that he's going up against, but there's some prowess here. There's some really natural instincts after the catch. I mean, how many guys at 6'6 catch designed tunnel screens? Just there's not many of those on planet Earth, but he's one of them. So I think he's a fascinating get. Of course, there's a bunch of, hey, let's just throw it to the big man kind of deal. Let's get in post position, rebounding position, and win at the catch point. You know he can do that with that size. But I was really intrigued by just the movement. It doesn't look like he's running that fast, but guys aren't catching him. And there's some physicality there too. He is not easy to bring down, which is very intriguing because if that's the case at 210, what is that going to look like at 240, right? Once he gets into the Big Ten for good, strength and conditioning, nutritional program, all that stuff. And then the other thing I really liked here, Ryan, very comfortable moving around. I saw him in the backfield. I saw him split out a bunch, in line, you know, as a wing, basically comfortable moving everywhere. And again, we've talked a lot about modernizing on this pod over the last year or so. This is a very modern tight end that you can isolate and win with, but you could also develop and push towards a higher, more balanced ceiling simultaneously. So I really like this get. And when a kid like this is in your state, getting him in and on board early, it's very important for perception and it'll help you build going forward.
Yeah. And just going back to your point of modernizing, right? Phil Longo coming in. This is just another toy. We're going to talk about Grant Steck in a second. He's another one that committed. This one, Booker, feels like a big-time upside play. Like, this is a guy – oh, another great example. We talked Tucker Ashcraft in last year's class, more of that bigger, physical, high-floor guy. I mean, yep. Booker could be a star, and I don't think that's hyperbole if everything comes together here.
100%. The hands are natural. He tracks it well. Again, that size, wingspan, catch radius combination is something you can't teach. And, again, there's some instincts and physicality that go along with it. So it's not like – oh, this guy moved over from basketball and he's, you know, a little soft and he's got to kind of bring him along. A lot of the classic football elements are there. It's just on a modern frame and game. So, yeah, if it all comes together, this could be a banner win regardless of where the kid is from. So I really like this get on a lot of fronts. And look, Phil Longo has done a lot with a lot of different body types, but he really loves big bodied receivers that are receivers and tight ends, pass catchers that are built for that back shoulder ball, win those contested footballs, and this fits that element specifically to a T.
And you mentioned, you know, a kid like this in state, you got to lock those up. Even when, you know, there was a concern when Luke Fickell took over, Phil Longo took over, you were removing this Badger culture, maybe the in-state prospects wouldn't be as prioritized, for example. I never bought that, but it seems even more so. You know, they're going after, obviously, Donovan Harbor, Corey Smith really hard. They just locked up Booker. Like, they're not going to avoid recruiting in the state of Wisconsin. They're still going to go after that state incredibly hard.
Correct. And look, there's some good talent right now in the state of Wisconsin that they do need to try to lock in early. So, yeah, I agree. You don't recruit the state just to recruit it, but this group was never going to ignore the local recruits. It's just, it's never happened, and it should never happen at a school like Wisconsin. So Luke Fickell understands that. You know, he did really well in state and locally and semi-locally at Cincinnati. And obviously Phil Longo's been a bit of everywhere, and there's always been a pull locally to him. In North Carolina, you could do so a little bit more frequently than Wisconsin, but you still did it when you didn't have to. So yeah, this will feel more national when the dust settles, but that foundation, those early commitments, they're still going to have very much a local or at least familiar feel.
And the last thing here, I'll go with Booker, then kick it over to you if you have any final thoughts on him or his film or anything we didn't touch on. Phil Longo did an interview when he came here. He talked about, I want to put my athletes, like he basically said, I want to simplify it. I want to put my athletes in space and just let them run. And to me, this feels like a yak tight end, like that yards after catch, get him in space. And tight ends aren't going to be able to stick with them. Linebackers aren't going to be able to stick with them. It's just a mismatch.
Right, because now you've got this element of, I can go over the top of most linebackers. So if you want to put a longer, maybe rangier defensive back, as I said earlier, there's this instinctive running ability and physicality that Booker also brings that it's just hard to bring him down. And he's also kind of sneaky fast. I don't say that lightly. He just has such a long stride that it doesn't look like he's pumping like the rest of the guys, but he's still running away from them. So, yeah, I think this is, again, a modern let-him-go kind of player. And as his frame catches up to his game and the polish starts to come with the route running and lowering his plane with the change of direction and stuff like that that naturally comes, I think this is going to be a very intriguing piece to the Phil Longo Wisconsin offensive puzzle.
We're excited for it. Coming up, we're going to talk about another intriguing piece coming into this Phil Longo ecosystem. That's coming up next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at FanDuel. Again, it's our new sports book. It's the number one sports book in the country. And this time of the year, you only need one app for the Super Bowl, and that's FanDuel. Again, America's number one sports book. We're really excited about it. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. There's so many great features that make betting on sports fun, that make it easy. And now if you download FanDuel now, so you can bet on Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet, you'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets. $3,000, that's incredible in bonus bets. If your first bet doesn't win, guaranteed. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. I've talked about some of my favorite kind of futures bets, things I'm looking at. I should engage John Garcia on this as well. Listen, I have Colorado over 4.5 because primetime is going to win over 4.5 games with all those transfers. Not a hard schedule. I also have, listen, if you want to have fun, this is a Wisconsin channel. I might talk John into this. Wisconsin to win the Natty next year is plus 10,000. I'm just saying, put $5 on it, right? Tanner Mordecai's here. Let's have some fun with this hype train. So again, all on a FanDuel that's safe, super easy to use, super secure. All the app is all of that. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. And after you're done here, go check out Lockdown's headed to the Senior Bowl. Keanu Benton's down there, and he's absolutely tearing it up. Get inside analysis from the hosts that covered the NFL's next generation in college and find out which NFL draft boards these players are shooting up. All in one location. Subscribe to Lockdown NFL Draft for nightly live shows from the Senior Bowl. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. All right, let's get John Garcia Jr. back on the show here. As always, man, we really do appreciate it. John, can I talk you into this Wisconsin plus 10,000 to win the Natty?
I think one of the two bets you mentioned is a little bit more likely. But look, nobody had TCU being very good or even potentially great this mm-hmm. time last year. So these turnarounds do happen quickly, especially when there's kind of an offensive focus. And obviously we've got those chips up in Madison. But yeah, I think that's a good number, obviously. Hello, if you want to put something on it and it does break that way, you'll look smart and feel good financially. But I'm not quite there yet. I'm getting there, but I'm not quite there yet.
I'm going to check you down as maybe. You're in the maybe yes. box.
I'm on the maybe spot. That's fine.
John, definitely want to give you an opportunity as always. Where can people find what you're doing?
Yeah, it's National Signing Day Eve, right? So there's still some dust to settle in the class of 23, and we're talking about it on various platforms. So come check us out via social media, John Garcia underscore JR.
All right, let's talk another tight end here. Grant Steck, also 6'6", 220, a little bigger, 220, out of Illinois, four-star tight end. More of a national – I mean, he's a Midwestern kid, but he has national offers. It's Arkansas, Tennessee, Penn State's in this, Iowa's in this. Thoughts on Grant Steck, his game, and then let's talk about kind of the recruitment from a national perspective.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit more conventional, a little bit more balanced from a tight end perspective, and you don't have to investigate very long to see why that offer list is so strong. He can block, he could run, has unbelievable ball tracking ability. I think it's one thing to be 6'6 and present that wingspan and catch radius, but to actually track the ball well and win at the catch point is a whole different thing. And he plays on a bit of a lower plane. You know, he already has some polish relative to Booker at that size. So you could see why his recruitment maybe ballooned out a little bit sooner than Booker's did. There was one play in particular I watched today where he was running along the right sideline looking over his left shoulder. Ball's underthrown behind him. It's almost like a back shoulder ball, but it was so behind him that he had to turn the other way, and he caught it like 6 inches off the ground, you know, along the sideline. So many avenues to miss. So many avenues as a 6'6 guy to say, hey, man, I can't get down there that quickly, and he did it all in one motion. So the ball tracking ability in hands is really impressive here. There's a little bit more polish from a route running perspective. There's a little bit more size here as well, which helps him as a blocker and as a more balanced tight end. But at the same time, there's a lot of modern traits, right? Very comfortable with the ball in the air, good after the catch, a guy who has also lined up all over the place on a Friday night basis. So it's the more the merrier kind of feel in looking at these two new tight ends, because there are some similarities and some pretty stark differences, which is great. That's what you want. We talk about it at quarterback a lot on this show and some others' positions. You want guys that are on different timelines and at different points in their development. So if he is a little bit further along, you're okay with that. And of course, it should be mentioned, a whole year for these guys to build on these high school resumes before we see them in red and white for good. So that's also important to note. But yeah, a little bit more of a finished product, but still has some improving to do from a physical perspective and to round out the technical stuff on top of it. But the ball skills and tracking is really impressive here. He's another one that physically is a mismatch, but it's the little things that make him a bit of a separator when you look at that offer list and try to figure out why he was so coveted. So this is another really strong get.
And I think what you said there was really insightful. You said, you know, a lot of the little things. When I was watching film of Grant, I wrote down in my notes, this is what a four-star looks like, right? So many tight ends, and this is not to disparage any players the Badgers have gotten, but a lot of them, maybe they have those ball skills, but they're 6'5". You know, or they're 6'6", but they're really just a hand in the dirt guy. This is a guy you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of clips of him hand in the dirt burying people, but then they also split them far out, right? And they run corner fades with him. And, you know, it just feels like the four-star guys, you don't have to project as much.
100%. And I think you could tell the offense is a little bit more run dependent yet. And still they're working him in, you know, I think that's another good sign, right? You tailor your offense to your players, even though your system is what it is. And you could tell that Grant has a lot of that cachet along with his name as a junior. So I think that's a big deal in and of itself. But coming from that style of offense, very much comfortable as a blocker, wins a lot at the point of contact. And again, he's still relatively lean for his height and frame listing. So I do think that strength can be added upon and emphasized as he gets a little bit bigger and closer to college football.
Yeah, and then I want to talk a little bit about the two players. We've already talked about Booker. We've talked about Steck. Compare and contrast a little bit. You got into it a little bit, but is Booker maybe the higher upside, more athletic player? And then Steck is the guy we look at and say probably in a year, I mean, he's going to be a solid Big Ten contributor, almost guaranteed. Not guaranteed, but he's going to be that guy.
Yeah, that's kind of the line I'm looking at here. I think from a pass-catching standpoint, both players are mismatches right now. Before anything is added or tweaked in their game. Yeah, I think Steck is a little bit more polished, a little bit more filled out and a little bit more or much more comfortable as a blocker. I think that's where the biggest differences lie. But at the same time, Booker's not asked to do as much of those things. So you understand the variance there. So I do think it's a bit of a floor versus ceiling deal, but both of them can combat the other and kind of highlight their weaknesses to improve and become more well-rounded. And this is the type of pairing that, you know, gets people paid, basically, right? Line one up with the hand in the dirt, line the other one up right behind them in a two-point stance. You can do these kind of things with these two. And at some point, when the frames all get filled out, they become interchangeable. And that's when you can really put pressure on defenses pre and post snap. Both will become blockers and help you in the run game on top of all of these things too. So I do think that they'll complement each other on the front end, but I think by the time they're close to graduation, they could be, you know, 1A, 1B on this offensive roster.
And then let's talk about the recruitment a little bit. We talked about Booker, the in-state kid. You still got to win that recruitment, right? Iowa's there, Minnesota's there, but that's it. That's layup's the wrong word. It's an easier win.
Yeah, quicker
point. What about the recruitment of a kid like Grant Steck, who has SEC offers, big time offers across the country? Again, is that another validation point of what Luke Fickell's building here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, it's huge, right? Because national offer list suggests longer timelines, right? You have more to consider, more trips to make, just more on your plate as a recruit compared to an in-state recruit who's like, hey, I'm going to get this done in January of my junior year and just kind of be done with it. It could very much not go that way for a kid like Grant, and that's it's still happening and profiling that way. So I think that alone says a lot because yeah, he could be a kid who hits 30 schools this offseason and nobody would blink. No school would say, oh no thanks, you know, we don't want you to come visit. So I do think that it says something from a timeline perspective for him to get it done this early. It means recent visit created conviction and he wanted to stay in that kind of Big Ten footprint. So I'm all for it. I think it's a plant flagging kind of recruiting win at that position. Because again, you start to talk about what looks and feels different with Wisconsin. It's not just, hey, they won a battle for a blue chip tight end. They did so almost a year in advance out of state when the kid had options he hadn't really fully explored. So I do think that says a lot about, again, the benefit of the doubt, the belief, the buy-in, any cachet you want to use there of not only of Luke Fickell at the very top, but everywhere else offensively under Phil Longo. Again, that pairing just continues to flex to the point where are we talking about more offensive guys at Wisconsin than defensive guys? I mean, if the day Fickell was hired and the perception of Wisconsin at that moment, I would not have guessed that we would be talking more QBs, pass catchers than defensive linemen and linebackers. But here we are.
Yeah, that's a great point, man. You know, we are still kind of waiting on that four-star linebacker to come in. Meanwhile, these quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends, right? Like it's a very weird time to be a Wisconsin fan in general. Like we're still coming to grips with this. Coming up, though, we do want to talk about somebody who maybe is more a little bit more the prototypical Wisconsin target, somebody that John and I both think looks incredible on film. We're going to talk about that next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at Built Bar. I talk about Built Bar a lot. They're kind of a hidden secret, health secret of mine where I'm trying to get a little better, but I don't want to sacrifice taste. I want to eat something that doesn't feel like I'm eating cardboard. Built Bar is that thing. Tons of protein, delicious treat, but without all the fat and calories, you got to try Built Bar. We got through the holidays. The goal is to get a little healthier and eat a little healthier without compromising that taste. And Built Bar is tasty. They're delicious and they're good for you. Lots of protein. What makes them so good? For starters, 100% real chocolate. That's right, 100% real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, which is my favorite. I've talked about the churro, but also peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, and a bunch more. I'm not sure how they do it, but they taste like candy bars, a ton of protein, only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar. It's incredible. And now you don't have to go to the website. You can go to Walmart, Sam's Club to pick them up. Now, they're mainstream now because they're so popular. Head to the nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, grab yourself a box of Built Bars, pick up the 4-bar box of cookies and cream, or head to Sam's Club, get the 13-bar box of our hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. You're going to thank me later. It's incredible stuff. All right, let's get John Garcia back on here. As always, man, one more segment. So Wisconsin had a couple of big junior days, and I want to chop up a lot of these prospects with you, but I want to start with the one that really stood out to me among a lot of good prospects, Nathan Roy, in-state offensive tackle, 6'5", 6'6", somewhere in that range, 260 pounds. A really strong Midwestern offer list. I think his film is awesome. What were your impressions watching Nathan Roy?
Nathan Roy is very fun. This is an offensive lineman's offensive lineman. Like, this is the kind of guy who it's not only easy to see, but it's fun. You see it, you feel it, right? My favorite play that I saw in preparation for this was, I think it was like a double reverse or something like that. So he was naturally the lead blocker on the direction it was supposed to go. Two things. One, he got out a little early. He was excited to get out in space like most big guys are. And then he's like looking around and the receiver finally comes with the ball and he's like, oh crap, I got to get on my horse here. And he gets into a dead sprint and basically leads the way and meets the runner at the 1 yard line. I mean, it was an unbelievable play for a 6'5", 265 pound or whatever he is to make. So the movement skills right away capture your imagination and make you think, oh my goodness, whether it's right tackle, guard, heck, he could work into a center. He'll be that centerpiece of an offensive line that you run behind, but you also flex behind, meaning screens, getting to the second level, chips and goes, reach blocks, anything in space that pulls, kickouts, anything that allows him to get on the move is going to benefit your offense. So naturally you're like, okay, well, he moves really well, but what about in the phone booth? What about when it's ugly? And there's a lot of nasty in him on top of it. He doesn't have to impress you just in space. He is great in the phone booth at the contact point. His leverage is awesome. He wants to bury you. I think there's room to improve from a technical standpoint as a pass blocker. And he's obviously got to fill out a little bit more once he wants to, you know, block, you know, defensive linemen, wherever he ends up in the Big Ten and the SEC, wherever it is. Yeah, you're going to need a little bit more weight behind you. But in terms of just the strengths and highlighting what makes him go, there's a lot to like here from a classic or a modern sense, even more so in a modern sense, where you're asking in this day and age offensive linemen to do more than we've ever asked them to do. I mean, there are great centers that are lead blockers in space. I mean, that used to never happen, but that's what we're asking guys to do. And I think in one way, shape, or form, Nathan Roy can kind of assimilate to that modern move offensive lineman.
And this is a guy, John, whose recruitment has really kind of started to build up a lot of momentum. Composite 4-star on 247, Ohio State, Penn State, USC, UCLA, Tennessee, all these schools kind of getting involved in some form or fashion. One of the things you mentioned to me off before we got started, which I thought was really interesting, you said if he was in a bigger market or a different part of the country, I forget exactly how you worded it, but you basically said this would not be the first time I'd be seeing him.
Correct. Yeah, this is a kid. This is a national kid. I think he's a certified blue chip. I think the only question marks are pass protecting polish and the size, but you expect one to come, right? You expect the size to go on there. So we don't have as much, I guess, fear in this industry of projecting size on a kid. I mean, heck, the hottest 23-year-old lineman right now, like 265 as a senior, and he's going to end up at probably Penn State or Michigan State. Chimney Ono for Badgers fans looking ahead. So we don't worry about that as much as we used to. And the pass protection stuff, again, that will come. You know, it has to do with the level of competition, the scheme he's in more times than not. So outside of those elements, there's good lateral ability. He's got good length and reach. And again, we highlighted the movement skills and kind of the grit at the point of contact. There's just a lot to like here. I think the position projection will be a thing. I think that will be scrutinized, and maybe that will create some variance in his options. Hey, this school wants me as a tackle. This school wants me as a guard. I don't know if he can snap, but I'm going to DM him after this show and ask, because I think he could be the number one center in the country if that's the case. So I'm very curious to see Nathan's development. But, yeah, if this kid was in Houston or Miami or even like DC, I think he would become a national recruit without much further notice. But there's still time, right? Spring ball's going to start back up. These coaches are going to hit the road all over the country and see more talent. So that offer list is going to continue to grow. If he's looking for more options, I think patience will be on his side, to say the least.
I know, John. We want to keep that boxed up.
I know. I was going to say, I shouldn't say that on this show.
We will. No. I shouldn't have even asked a question. No, this is not a
get him committed level. Right now.
No. You know, one of the things you mentioned was that the pass blocking will come. You just got to think with those movement skills and the feet he has. He's a basketball guy, too.
Yep.
That's going to be something, barring some weird developmental issue or injury, that's going to come.
100%, right? You know, a lot of those basketball principles flip right over to offensive line play in particular. You're talking a lot of lateral ability and the ability to mirror. I mean, just that from a base standpoint, that's something he's going to be able to do. We already see him playing with good leverage, so those smaller, twitchier edge rushers shouldn't be an issue going forward, at least just from a physical standpoint. So, yeah, I'm not worried about the pass protection progress, just like I'm not worried about the size. You know, I think the weight will come in short order. So, yeah, I think he is a surefire blue chip offensive line recruit that I think we're going to hear a lot more about just in general going forward.
I love to hear it. He is John Garcia Jr. joining us as always once a week. Really do appreciate it, John. Make sure you go give him a follow. Great insight. Somebody that I think we all get smarter because he's on the show and gives us some of his time. So we really do appreciate it, John. With that, we're going to keep talking to you guys on Locked On Badgers. Talk to you again tomorrow for sure on Wisconsin. And let's keep this thing going.